This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Sylvia Earle has spent decades exploring the oceans, including stints living underwater. The 86-year-old oceanographer and National Geographic explorer still likes to dive whenever she can. She says explorers like her have only glimpsed about 5% of the oceans, and the majority of the ocean floor remains unmapped. Earle has a new book out. It's called Ocean, A Global Odyssey. She says despite environmental challenges, there's much we can do individually to protect and conserve the ocean. I spoke to her about the book and her life of undersea adventure. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be part of the action.
All right. First of all, congratulations on the book. It's a beautiful collection of photography and writing. What was your goal in putting this together?
To tell the story of the ocean based on not just my lifetime of exploring and getting to know the ocean from the inside out using conventional diving techniques, but also rather unconventional ones, living underwater 10 times, using dozens of little submarines, but to share the stories and the insights gained over really all preceding history, but especially in the last few decades. The rate of exploration and knowledge is really accelerating just in time. So the stories of other explorers, scientists, individuals who are making a difference, first by really looking at the ocean and trying to answer to the best of our collective ability questions that a kid might ask, like, where did all that water come from? Mm-hmm. Why is it salty? And tell me about currents in the ocean and who lives there. And finally, to come to some of the big questions that are now haunting us is, like, why should I care about the ocean? And if the ocean is in trouble, what does that mean? What can I do to turn things around?
Mm-hmm.
So the way the book is constructed, thanks to the mighty editors at the National Geographic, that there are stories within stories. Like, you can pick the book up almost anywhere, a little 500-word bites or 1,000-word essays with a beginning, a middle, and a conclusion that makes it okay to pick the book up almost anywhere, anytime, and dive in and find something that you might find of interest, coupled with incredible pictures. Again, that could not have existed when I was a kid. We now have photography, digital photography, photography that you can take pictures literally almost in the dark with the sensitivity of technologies now that make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thrilled to be able to share the view. It's not just my view. It's assembling the best information that we could bring together and put, I mean, it seems like a really big book, but it's a really big topic with lots of little pieces that I hope people will savor.
Just thinking about living under the ocean, as you referred to, there's a lot of, I guess, interest right now in space exploration and living in space and maybe getting further out into space. But do you feel like there should be more emphasis on exploring what's under the ocean as well?
Absolutely, and also caring for it. The more we explore the ocean, the greater the awareness of what a miracle it is that Earth exists at all, and that it does exist as it does, and that we exist as we do because of this fabric of interlocked life that creates the chemistry of the planet that's just right for us and life as we know it. In a planet, in a universe, even in our own solar system, good luck with setting up housekeeping on Mars. And I do think that we can, technologically and understanding the basic life support needs, send a few people who could live for a while on another planet. And but, you know, here we've got a built-in life support system. And it exists nowhere else in the universe. There are no elephants except here on Earth. No humans except here on Earth. We are the product, the distillation of all preceding life on Earth. And here we are, endowed with this amazing gift of knowledge, built of generations, hundreds, thousands of generations of humans using their mighty brains to gather information and not just use it in that generation, but passing it along, storing that knowledge so that every generation now gets a jump start on the previous one, especially now because we're connected in such a comprehensive way that was not possible when I was a child. The children of today are the beneficiaries of this greatest era of learning and discovery in all of human history. Pieces of the puzzle are coming together faster than ever, and we still have much to learn. I mean, most of the ocean is still unexplored. We've mm-hmm. only seen maybe 5% of it. We've only mapped maybe 15% of the ocean floor. We could look at the surface and think we know the ocean. But that's just the top of this place where most of life on Earth actually lives. Mm-hmm. And the ability to know what we don't know is a great starting place to cause us to respect the magnitude of what we don't know and take care of this vast system. Call it the precautionary principle, if you will, but whatever it is, we know that the ocean keeps us alive. Now we have to return the favor and keep the ocean alive.
How often do you get to dive these days?
Well, my last underwater experience was in the Azores, and that was in August. You know, this virus has trimmed my flippers a bit, and as a consequence, I got to write the book. I spent more than a year just hunkered down without getting out into the ocean. I mean, before the pandemic, the last place I was able to go splash around was in the Seychelles, in the Indian Ocean, mm-hmm. you know, half a world away from where I am now in California. I'm accustomed to being in the ocean somewhere for some period of time, for, you know, at least once a month, and having expeditions to explore and share the view of what's happening underwater with people all over the world to try to foster caring with a network of protected areas, hope spots, and to work with other organizations who are similarly trying to embrace the ocean and all of the living world with care. Mm-hmm. National Geographic's Pristine Seas Project has really been out there trying to wake people up about why the ocean matters and what we can do to embrace it with care. That's what we're doing with Mission Blue, what Nature Conservancy, World Wildlife Fund, you know, hundreds of organizations now pulling together. It's important. We know that cooperation is what makes the world thrive in a peaceful, positive way. And I'm so excited to be witnessing this surge of awareness, why nature matters, why old growth forests mm-hmm. are really important to protect, why old growth systems in the ocean, and I'm not talking about just thousands of years, but like the manganese nodules in the mm-hmm. deep sea represent millions of years of individual chunks of living rocks develop an ecosystem that is part of what secures our safety, our mm-hmm. prosperity, a planet that works in our favor.
I wanted to ask you, it's easy to read these headlines about environmental challenges facing the oceans and other ecosystems and get overwhelmed, but what can people do to take action individually? What can they do to help protect the ocean?
First, look in the mirror. That's the first individual action everybody should take. You know, who are you? What do you have? What have you got? Do you have a way with words? Do you have a way with kids? Do you have any power? Are you a mayor? Are you a CEO, a leader of a country or your family? What have you got that you can do to go from where we are to get to a better place? Get up to speed with what the problems are. Figure out, well, I can do something about this. I can choose, no matter how much power you've got, you can choose to say, no, I'm going to give bluefin tuna a pass because mm-hmm. I know, having looked maybe in the Ocean Odyssey or maybe elsewhere, that we need wildlife in the ocean to prosper. And some people will need to eat the creatures of the sea for sustenance, but for most of us, It's a choice. And we are degrading the health of the ocean by the large scale, especially the high seas, industrial scale, taking of squid and fish and shrimp and krill by the ton, and not really understanding the big bite we're taking out of the integrity of these closely knit systems that are like our safety net. They keep us alive in a universe that's not really very friendly to the likes of us. And know that we have plenty of choices about what to eat. And even at the climate conference in Glasgow, agriculture, our food habits, our focus on taking ocean wildlife, on a large percentage, larger than we really need, of eating animals. Now, people will, of course, throughout all history, we have eaten and will continue to eat some animals, but we've gone overboard with taking so much and giving so much of the land and sea to either grow or to extract animals for food with a big carbon footprint. And that was headline news, blue carbon, animal carbon. We can do better by individual choices times the nearly 8 billion of us. I mean, every bite we take matters. We should know that and be mindful with our everyday decisions. But we can do more. Like, I don't know, there's a kid in Texas who saw all the trash on the beaches, and she did not ask anybody. She didn't tell anybody. She just went out and started picking it up because she could, and she did. And others started following her. And this was at about the time that the great ocean cleanups began, to be able to use your individual choice. I'm going to give back. I'm going to take back some of what we humans have done to trash the planet. I'm going to make a commitment to do my part, not to add to the collection of stuff that's out there in the ocean, harming wildlife, harming the great nutrient cycles in the ocean, really damaging the very systems that keep us, keep me, keep you, all of us alive. Once you know, you can do something, you can care. You might know and not care, but what has been lacking until right about now is understanding the nature of why the ocean matters, why nature matters, not just because nature is beautiful and inspires us, but because it keeps us alive. All of the natural systems. Get to know it. Get to know the little creatures in your backyard. And certainly, if you haven't already taken the plunge, do so. Dive in. Get to know the blue part of the planet. You'll never regret it.
Well, Dr. Sylvia Earle, congratulations again on the book, and thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
I thank you for having me on board.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Sylvia Earle's new book is called Ocean, A Global Odyssey.